place for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
C'est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cordano, le tir, oh il est bon celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
Pour le Paris Saint-Germain, parce que le Paris Saint-Germain c'est le plus important.
Il est dans le football,
il est voilé les.
Et je suis fatigué.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show with not as much technical ability as Julian Draxler has, but still as stubbornly here whether you like it or not. Not ready to give up regardless of the consequences or even lack thereof. Also known as the show going through the emotions, the many emotions of saying goodbye to the Petit Thibault. As I am recording, there's no final announcement yet, but unlike with Draxler, this deal might just go through and then we move to a new era, one without one of our staple players, Marco Verratti. Like said, nothing is final until it is, but we talk a little bit about him today as we do about a lot of other things. Usually I have a few topics that are a little bit bigger, there's been match played or transfer happening or something else, but as I was preparing I noticed that today we will have more of a quick fire round and we shall cover many smaller things, but all of them are somehow significant. It's an international break after all, so club football is resting, but these things, they never really rest. Things are always happening. My name is Mikko. Thank you for being with me and do follow me online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and at PSG Review on Instagram. Feel free to ask questions, share thoughts or whatever else. It's always nice to hear from you and why not also write a short review on Apple Podcasts if you're using that platform or review the show on Spotify or wherever you listen to this from if such option is available. International break is happening and that might come up here and there in this episode of PSG Review, but let me first say big congratulations to Warren Zaire-Emery, who didn't just play his debut match for the France under-21 national team, but the coach Thierry Henry also selected him as the captain for his first appearance. A 17-year-old young man playing really on the second highest level of men's international football and immediately as a captain. A lot is happening undoubtedly in his life because the attention that he is getting is more than before. All the publicity can also bring fair amount of pressure and he's also reportedly talking about his first proper big contract with the club, which I would say to us must be a priority. But to him, it's good to keep in mind that this really is the first money, like a proper big money that will entirely change not just his, but his whole family's life. So it's a lot to take in for a young person. It should not be overlooked, but he seems to have a good character and hopefully one that is able to navigate this new life. And I also hope that he will get a good counseling from his older teammates, some peer support from those who know what he is going through so that he can keep calm and focus on his career one day at a time. For us, I know we're excited about him, but it's important to allow him space to grow. Not every match needs to be world-class, and us putting on all the pressure on him isn't necessarily helpful, even if it's not like he's listening to this show or probably hearing half of the things that are said in general. But nevertheless, let's have patience with him, and I'm sure his talent will take him far and take our club far too. Of course, Kylian Mbappe continues as a France national team captain on the men's side, so we are having good representation all in all for the biggest club in France. The transfer window in European football closed on 1st of September. We had a thorough once-over of it all last week on PSG Review, but there were other windows eastwards that stayed open for longer and some still are in business. The Saudi window is closed now. It closed on Thursday, and in the last episode I did mention that Gini Wijnaldum was close to closing a deal, and that indeed did happen, not just relieving the club of his sizable salary, certainly sizable for a player that wasn't to be playing, but it also brought in a transfer fee of around 10 million according to several reports. But as the Saudi window closed and the club had released its Champions League squad list as well, there were a few names that were not sold but were not really part of the project either. It is said that Keylor Navas will remain in Paris as our backup keeper. Apparently he's okay with that, and this makes him probably the best paid backup keeper, I imagine, by some margin in the world of football. But be that as it may, Julian Draxler and Hugo Ekitike are also on the payroll of the club, but not in the Champions League squad, and the same applies to Marco Verratti. The window in Qatar is still open and there is pretty much certainty by now that at least Verratti will move there to play in the league with the likes of Rafinha and Abdou Diallo. But Julian Draxler is not going according to the latest information. He is a bit of a wasted talent who could have been anything, but in the end, his mark in football world will be a sort of minuscule side note. A world champion? Yes, he is a world champion, even if his game time was measured in minutes in Brazil in 2014 when he was sort of a peripheral part of the German squad. Then at the time, he was more central in the Confederations Cup in 2017 where he was chosen as the player of the tournament as Germany won that one. And he genuinely was very good during those games. I do remember it very well. In Paris for PSG, his start was so promising as he scored in his first Ligue 1 match, his first Coupe de France match, and in his first Champions League match. The last one of those was the 4-0 win over Barcelona at Parc, but essentially he lost his spot in attack with the arrival of Neymar and Kylian Mbappe, who joined the team half a year after him. He played in midfield roles, but it just wasn't meant to be, and it all sort of fizzled out, as seemingly did his motivation at the same time. His time in Paris is not over unless there's some sort of a last-minute plot twist, although not going to Qatar is already a plot twist, but who knows if there's another one to change matters once more. His contract is up next summer, and before that, as things stand, he might not do much else besides picking his paycheck and celebrating his 30th birthday in a few weeks. A great unfulfilled promise, a player who could have been anything but then just wasn't. I have a half-jokingly said before that if you took Draxler's football abilities and Danilo's mentality and put them together in one player, you would have a player who would win the Ballon d'Or. We will talk about who will win Ballon d'Or soon, but for now we're talking about our players who have found themselves a little sidelined by the club. Ugo Ekitike never really got a chance despite coming in with similar hopes as Draxler did, although into a very different type of team. I mean, Draxler came in when Zlatan's star power had become a fond memory, whereas Ekitike came into a team with Messi, Neymar and Mbappe in attack, but what the club didn't have was a proper nine, a sort of target player. And Ekitike, I don't really think that he ever got chances, and it sort of begs the question why he was recruited to begin with. I was excited at the time. I think he's got a lot of potential, but at the time we also had Arnaut Kalimuendo, who was then sold to Rennes, and signing Ekitike felt like there had to be a plan for him because we got rid of Kalimuendo and got Ekitike instead, so there must have been a plan, but it was an idea that was never really implemented, that we can say in hindsight. There was an attempt to use him part of negotiations to get other players, as I discussed last week in the show PSG Review, but he wasn't interested in being part of those deals to play for those teams. And days later, he had become a kind of pariah figure, and that's not really a good look for the club, but it is what it is. Now, he's either joining some other team in a league that still has a window open or keeping company with Draxler in the loft, as it is known. But all that is just really a preamble to the one deal that has been hanging over our heads for the last month. Marco Verratti. Verratti has divided opinions, especially for the last year or so, but even before, to some extent, his last season was pretty poor and he didn't seem to be anywhere near his usual level. The thing we as fans often forget is that one of our more beloved players who recently left the club, Angel Di Maria, who I really like and I'm happy to see him back in Benfica, it's really an admirable thing during these times of Saudi cash, but Di Maria often also used to have a fairly poor half a season. The other half a season was very strong, but there were times when he just couldn't get his act together for months. You know, not during the last couple of seasons he played for us, but before that it did happen, but we don't really think about him in that light, and I'm glad that we don't, and I'm only mentioning it here to make a point that after all the years, perhaps Verratti should also be forgiven for a season that wasn't his peak football. I have always been a fan of him, and I was open to believing in him and his resurrection from the bad form. Was it caused by his new relationship, his new wife, and the lifestyle they lived? Was he influenced by Messi's disinterest to play football in Paris? Was Italy missing another World Cup heavy on his mind last season? the truth is, we don't know the reason. It could be any of those, a little bit of some of them or all of them or anything else for that matter. But he alone, of course, is responsible for his life. No one else can be blamed for any of his choices. And together with Neymar, he started to be pushed out, although he might have been more open to leaving than his Brazilian colleague, despite the fast approaching elusive honor of having played the most matches for the club in its entire history. I suppose with Marquinhos breathing down his neck on that list, he knew that chances were that if he got to the top first, he would have still soon lost that spot. And perhaps things like that don't mean that much to the players. Maybe they don't mean that much to him. I don't know. But now he seems to be going to Qatar at the age of 30. Announcement, of course, is still pending as I'm recording, but there seems to be an agreement in place, so it would be highly unlikely that it would not happen. But you can't help but feel a little bit melancholic about it. His incredible ability has carried us. He hasn't always had worthy players next to him, and a lot of what we have achieved in recent years since the departures of Blaise Matuidi and the retirement of Thiago Motta certainly has been relying on one-man midfield with some help from other players there. The statistics are impressive. 416 matches for Paris Saint-Germain, 9 Ligue 1 titles. That is more than anybody has ever won. 6 Coupe de France titles, 6 ones also in Coupe de la Ligue, 9 Trophée des Champions wins, and 1 final of Champions League. Only 9 goals, but we all know that wasn't really his main task in a team, but he is the player with the most titles, most trophies in the entire history of Paris Saint-Germain, and that is 30 trophies. That's quite a lot. And like I said, he is also the player in France or in the world who has the most Ligue 1 titles in his bag. So it's all very impressive, but now it seems to be that it's time to say goodbye to Marco, and all the best. Thank you for everything. Grazie mille, petit tibou. With the looming departure of Verratti, which may or may not have been confirmed when you're listening to this, we find ourselves in a situation that we don't really have many players left from our previous project, or perhaps one before it. I guess the sort of Zlatan era I'm talking about, it, if we could call it that. Only Marquinhos really, and of course Presnel Kimpembe came into the first team those times also. Levin Kurzawa is also actually one of the longest surviving members of the squad by now, although he hasn't really played an active role in it in a good couple of years. But as Marquinhos is staying, depending on how many matches he gets, if he can avoid injuries and generally does not lose his spot, he will take over Verratti in total matches played within a month or two, and potentially he can even become the most played player before the campaign ends. Right now, he is 5 matches behind Marco Verratti's total and 24 matches behind the current leader, Jean-Marc Pilocher, who played for PSG from 1975 to 1989. That's quite a stretch for him, but 24 matches left for Marquinhos to get there. In Ligue 1, we have 30 match days left in this campaign, and then we have the Champions League and Coupe de France. So let's say that even if the return of Nuno Mendes would mean the primary centre-back pairing of Hernandez and Skriniar, it seems likely that Marquinhos will get enough opportunities to break the record during the course of the spring. Another defensive player we have is, of course, Danilo Pereira. He has become something of a fan favourite, which I'm very happy about after his tough start in our colours, and some rumours were suggesting now that there was interest in Turkey to get him on loan and perhaps later on to buy. The club in question is Fenerbahçe, and the Turkish transfer window closes on the 15th of September. To me, this is a non-starter. He's a very dependable player, a leader, and someone with experience in our generally very young team. Apparently, we are the 6th youngest team in the top European leagues, according to Data Scout. Our average age is 25, and the youngest one in European top level, by the way, is Toulouse with 24.3 years. So not very far from that, and Danilo isn't such a high earner that we should desperately try to sell him. Certainly not to loan him out with an option, but not obligation to buy. It seems to be a very ambitious plan from the Turkish side, and I hope the leaders of our club will have the same approach to it as I do. Today we are going through topics quite quickly. There's no club football, so I'm just picking up a few topics and addressing them as they come. Manuel Ugarte has been one of the brightest stars of this new campaign for PSG. A very exciting player, of course, and currently he is with his Uruguayan national team to play some World Cup qualifying matches in South America. He already had one of those matches. He played full minutes and performed as we expected, which is incredibly well. The challenge PSG has had for a long time, of course, other clubs as well, but I'm here talking about PSG, is that we've had a lot of South American players. Now we don't have that many, but they do have to travel quite far for the international breaks, and they are also subjected to sizable time differences. You know, jet lag, it is a real thing, even if players have better conditions than us when we do our touristic trips, but it can't be overlooked either way. And next, Ugarte will play on Tuesday on 12th in Ecuador. Then it's back to Paris, and the Nice match is on Friday, a few days later, and Dortmund on Tuesday after that. That's basically three matches in 1 week with the 7-hour time difference and lots of flying. From Paris to Montevideo, where the first match was, then to Quito in Ecuador, and then back to Paris. And here is a fun fact. Quito is the highest capital city in the world, with the elevation of 2 kilometers and 850 meters or 9,350 feet from the sea level. So that won't help his body and recovery. It will be a tough night there, no matter how the match goes. If he needs to rest for the Nice match, I understand. I'm certainly not expecting him to play full minutes, because even if he, as a young player, could endure all this, there might always be a price to pay down the line, and it's become clear that we need him. He's a great asset to the team. Football is a team sport. That's something I always insist on, partly because it is true and partly because it's not just the truth, but I feel that it's the kind of essence of the whole endeavor. But we, of course, live in these times where individual adulations are the norm and the debates are raging. Who is the best? Who is the best? Is it Messi or Ronaldo, Mbappe or Haaland? And I find all of that a bit boring for the reasons I mentioned. But let's address the ultimate individual award in football, the Ballon d'Or. The 30 nominees were announced, and there were two current PSG players, Kylian Mbappe and Randal Kolo Muani, there in the mix, and one player whose success or failure to win can only be measured by what he has done during his time as a PSG player, and that, of course, is Lionel Messi, although his shout is pretty solely based on the World Cup title, which just happened to happen while we were paying his wages. And needless to say that without any starch for PSG yet, we can't really take any credit for Randal Kolo Muani, but there you go. I personally think that as much as he has been upsetting me for a few months now, or certainly frustrating me, that Kylian Mbappe is the best football player on this planet. Now, many will disagree, and I'm not interested in debating this, because to what end I would engage in such, you know, because people are allowed to have their opinions, and I am a person, just like you are a person, and we can all have our opinions. But for 1 second, I do not expect Kylian Mbappe to win this award this year. You know, setting aside him doing a lot of the heavy lifting with whatever PSG achieved last season, an absolutely monstrous World Cup, including an historical hat-trick in the final, and being the overall top scorer of the tournament with a total goals higher than any top scorer since 1970 tournament, which of course is over 50 years ago. But because France didn't win the trophy, I don't think that he will necessarily really be considered. Because people forget your achievements quite easily when you don't win. And Haaland, who had a good rest mid-season without any World Cup matches, will possibly take it, unless the World Cup victory of Messi will win it for him one last time. To be honest, I don't care very much. I will be happy the day Mbappe wins it, certainly if he will still play for us that day. But even then, it is my personal opinion that too much credit is given to this one award, and the process itself is deeply entrenched in the football politics, which are questionable at best. And that is on a good day. Another topic I acknowledge exists, but I won't get too deep into, is our former players commenting on their time in our club. Messi, Neymar and Sergio Ramos, these are big names in the world of football, of course, and therefore a little difficult to entirely ignore either. I promised myself that I won't get into these old things anymore, but since Messi and Neymar have both had their say about PSG, which was inevitable, I guess, and it's international break, here we go with a few thoughts about that. Now, first of all, what Lionel Messi says about PSG, I really don't care very much. He just confirmed what we already knew and had to live with for two seasons. He didn't want to come or be in Paris, and that was very plain to see. Of course, he's a great football player. Nobody's arguing against that, and therefore he had his magical moments, but PSG will be such a minor footnote in his story that let's not dwell on that too much. His arrival to Paris is actually something that I feel Barcelona fans should point their fingers at their leadership. It was their failure to keep him, but Neymar, it's quite a different thing. I think Neymar does some disservice to himself by aligning with Messi so heavily on this one. His PSG story isn't only longer and more significant, but also much more nuanced. He wants to be the center of the project in his prime, while Messi was perhaps the cherry on the cake towards the later years of his career. And I get that Neymar will have some grievances, and some of them are legitimate. I think that's fair to say. The segment of supporters who went to his house should not have, and his frustrating unavailability was due to injuries he couldn't entirely control. But with the great salary and expectations comes a lot of scrutiny. When he was pushing for an exit in 2019, he lost a lot of support and goodwill. Then telling that remontada was his favorite memory while in PSG was not just tone deaf, but it was also very disrespectful. You know, there's been issues for sure. But he has also given his all for the shirt, and there was a genuine sense of him wanting to be in Paris and winning with and for PSG. On pitch, he was working hard and changing matches so many times. I'd say that his time in Paris isn't in any way comparable to Messi's one. These statements, of course, are just answers to press conference questions. They are not calculated written statements, perhaps ephemeral reactions to something, some leading question by a journalist fishing for a clickbait. But of course, they both also know what they're doing. This is their job after all, and I'm not excusing it either. It just comes across quite unprofessional somehow. I don't feel particularly strongly about this thing. It's not very deep, and I get that especially Neymar might have some bitterness about having to go to Saudi Arabia at this point of his career, because in the end, he didn't have all that much power to choose where to go, but other clubs not being interested or able to afford him is part of his story. It's part of being a top earner who falls out of favor, and it can make you feel shortchanged. Sure, but there's not a lot that anybody can do about it. It's one downside in his otherwise quite privileged existence. With time, both Messi and Neymar might have more interesting recollections of this time. Who knows? But as a topical story, this is yesterday's news, and as a historical take, it's far too recent to provide us with something significant. Safe to say, everyone won when they left, since we are more balanced now and they aren't in hell any longer, to borrow Neymar's words. As with Sergio Ramos, as he was announced as a returning Sevilla player, he said as follows. If I chose a project, it's because I really believe in it. At PSG, we had the opportunity to continue, but there have been times when sensations and many other things make you think the cycle is over. It's not a question of money, contract or years. It's a subject of sport, philosophy and mentality. Now, there's no need for anybody to get upset about this. First of all, yes, the cycle did change. It has changed, that's clear, but the other issues were between him and Enrique from the national team. That was a non-starter to begin with. It was that made it impossible for him to continue. Also, with the new defenders that were recruited this summer, he would not have played as much. So this isn't like some of those other comments, and I'm not taking this in heart in any way. Not that I'm taking the other ones either, but I must say that just like with Angel Di Maria returning to Benfica, Ramos going back to Sevilla is a wonderful football story for the romantics in the time of outrageous contracts that they both could have easily signed in Saudi Arabia or elsewhere. We will still have one more thing to talk about, and I'm asking you politely to keep listening. I can see from the podcast statistics that there is a certain drop-off that happens when I start talking about PSG's women's team, but maybe if you already haven't, give them a chance this season, because we have really great players who are equally and actually quite often even more so giving their everything for this cert, for the PSG badge. So let's check what's happening with that squad and introduce the players as they are for this new campaign. It's been a World Cup season, and the first proper match before the season actually starts is Trophée des Champions, which is being played tonight on Sunday as I'm recording against our nemesis and women's football monster Olympique Lyonnais, our domestic rivals who like to steal our players. They're a bit like Marseille, except very successful and well-functioning as a team, so basically nothing like Marseille on the men's side. But I do compare players leaving PSG to Lyon in the same light, if I'm being entirely honest. This summer, another one of our key players made the move there to my dissatisfaction, and that player was Kadidiane. It is what it is. The transfer window has had some interesting moves, but also it hasn't been quite where we need it to be, as the club isn't giving it enough of a priority. I think they really should, because women's football is becoming more and more big thing every year. It's more often talked about, and not just for the wrong reasons, as recently with the Spanish national team scandal that cast a shadow for their World Cup celebrations. But genuinely, women's football is also talked about for good things as well as it should. And we need more action, more support. And through that, I hope that the powers within the club will say that, okay, let's do it, because it would not take a lot of money on a football scale to entirely change the game. If the transfer fee from Wijnaldum was channeled towards the women's team, we would be seriously competing to be the top team in Europe, and we aren't far from it even now. This summer has seen the return of the fan favorite, Katarzyna Kierczynek. As a goalkeeper, she was playing for us a long time. She used to even watch matches at Park with the Ultras occasionally before going to Wolfsburg, which is one of the top teams in women's football. The reason she left was because we got the, certainly at the time, best goalkeeper in women's football, Christiane Endler, but there's no point for guessing where she then left. The Lyon, of course. So now Kate is back, and she will compete for the starter position with French national team keeper Constance Picot. From our defensive line, we lost Amanda Ilstedt from Sweden. She had a great World Cup, so much so that she's now on Ballon d'Or list. But if I'm being entirely honest, she was a bit lukewarm in Paris. A good player, but nothing she ever did with us would have put her on that list. And Canadian Ashley Lawrence also left. Both of them went to Chelsea, by the way. So defense needs players, and we have gotten some, but our best centre-back Polina Dudek from Poland, as by the way, Kierczynek injured herself pretty seriously before she had a really properly recovered from her previous very serious injury. So we need a solid world-class centre-back, and that's just something you can't get around. It is a necessity. French national team player Elisa de Almeida has raised her level a lot, and I think she is ready to take a lot more responsibility in defense. And our former academy player Jade Leguille is back, and she's showing a lot of promise during the preseason. Very happy to see her there. Swiss Viola Galigaris joined us, as did French Asatu Tunkara and Nigerian Nicole Payne. Well, she's playing for the Nigeria on international level, but she was born in Birmingham, Alabama, and went to the university in West Virginia. So she's pretty much raised in the United States, even if she represents her family's home country on an international level. As a right back, we have one of the best, one of my favorites, Sakina Kashawi, a French national team player herself. And midfield, that is where the strength of this team is. Grace Georo, she's the player in this team, the player. I think the captain and such a dynamic character. In her own words, the extension is only a matter of time, despite the fact that pretty much any team would love to have her. She can play any role in the midfield, and last season she even had to play as a centre-back when we had an unusual amount of absentees, and even there she was probably the best player to play in that position the whole season. It says a lot. She's also strong in attack, so really great player and increasingly the focal point of this team. But there are also other excellent players. It's not just her in our midfield. Dutch Jackie Kroonen is a really solid young French national team player and PSG TT. Lorena Frasier is there. Another French international, Orion Jean-Francois, is there as a solid sixth defensive midfielder. And if there are no new center backs, if that should happen, I would probably like to see her there in the back line. New Brazilian addition, Ana Vitória, and former Notre Dame player from USA, Corbin Albert, always brings intensity on the pitch when she's playing. I'm very happy with our midfield. And in attack, after over 1 year of injury, for my money, the best number nine in women's football, Marie-Antoinette Katoto, is edging back to be part of this squad. If she can stay healthy, she will most probably score a lot. And last season, if we would have had her playing, I feel the season would have looked quite different. And it wasn't all that bad even without her. So I think we are in a solid starting point when it comes to that. We also have UEFA's 2017 Player of the Year, European Champion and Champions League winner Lieke Martens, another Dutch player with a good World Cup during the summer. Her first season in Paris was quite forgettable, but I hope that she will find her rhythm with Katoto, who, like said, did not play during the whole last season 1 minute, so hopefully there's going to be a good connection. We also have Swiss Ramona Bachmann, our number 10. Then we have Sandy Baltimore, who I really like, and some other decent players like Danish Amalie Vangskort. So what we really need still is a right winger. Baltimore can play there, but she's more of a natural on the left side, where she creates this connection with Kashawi and Katoto. At best, it can be lethal, although last season she wasn't on her usual level, which sort of ended up dropping her from the French national team for the World Cup. So I hope and I trust that she will have a lot to prove this season, and I look forward to it. But with a few additional last-minute signings, this team can be really good, and last season the signings were last-minute, so no need to lose the faith in this process. The coach, Gerard Brashear, is a mystery man. He really is. I didn't quite get his line of thinking last season, but he has a good CV, and perhaps this year it will all change for the better. One thing about him is that he really prefers the French players. Like, he really likes to select them over other nationalities, if only he can. That's certainly the way that it appears. He used to work in Clairefontaine Academy years ago, and curious fact, he is one of the very early people who found out the magic of Kylian Mbappe as a child when he came to Clairefontaine. That is a bit of information I got from a book I was reading this summer. It's meant for 12-year-olds, but it's in French, and my French studies aren't quite there yet, so I was very happy to find a book on a little bit easier level about something that I was genuinely interested in. It very much a win-win situation. But back to this Trophée des Champions. That is happening tonight as I record. Don't know the result yet, obviously, because it hasn't yet been played now. But when you hear this, it might have ended. But as with the whole season, we are expected to give Lyon a run for their money. Rather than expect, I hope that we can win. But the season is long and a lot can happen. In France or in Europe, we are the underdogs. I think that's fair to admit. But at the same time, we have a team that on a good day can do anything, so let's root for our PSG women also. I can promise you this much, they more than deserve it, and sometimes they deserve it quite a lot more than the men's team, certainly for the last two seasons. That is all for now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having spent this moment with me as we are waiting for the return of club football on the men's side as well. The internationals will return as their matches end, and then already on Friday night we will have an important match against Nice, as we are second on the table behind Monaco. It's very early days and we're still paying for those first two draws, but after Nice it will be another big one as Borussia Dortmund comes to Parc des Princes to open another Champions League campaign. That match is on Tuesday, the 19th of September. Until next time, thanks for listening. Peace.